Well, this next is a story about a man who became so obsessed by a photograph he found 21 years ago that it dominated his life. It is quite a remarkable photograph. It's a picture of a group of World War I soldiers. It's on our Facebook site and so on, by the way. There were 46 men in the black and white picture, including his own great-grandfather. And Andrew Tatham, who is a family historian, set about tracing living relatives of all of them. A huge undertaking and a real challenge. And Andrew's now transformed that 2 decades of research into an exhibition about the long-term effects of war on people and families, and it's on display at the In Flanders Fields Museum in Ypres in Belgium. The photograph Andrew found was only 11 inches wide and 8 inches tall, so how did he transform that single small artifact into such a big thing that you'd almost call it his life's work? Let's speak to Andrew Tatham himself, the man who's created the exhibition A Group Photograph, joins us from Norwich. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
So, an amazing book and this photo at the centre of it. Just if you can, just describe the photo to us.
Well, in the centre is my great-grandfather, who was the commanding officer. And when you look at the photo and you look at all the faces of these men, they're all wearing uniforms. So you sort of initial glance at it, you think maybe that they're all the same, their backgrounds are all the same, and what happened to them all the same. But actually, when you look into the depth, just like with any human being, there is depth to them. And so when you when I started going around and finding the families, and doing the research in the archives, I was finding that they weren't just soldiers. There was an artist, a poet, a music critic, a champagne merchant, all sorts of people, and all their backgrounds going, through years and years and years to come to that point.
And I've just put out on Twitter the photo itself, so if anyone's online, they can just have a quick look and they get a sense of it. But I've got it in front of me now, and I mean the first thing they're all younger than you'd think looking at it, because I think in those days people looked older than they were, didn't they? They're all about in their mid 20s, really, these men.
Yes, I mean the seated row there in their 30s, 40s, and my great grandfather was actually 50. But the average age in the photo was 26. And one of the hilarious things is the fact that they look older is because so many of them have got moustaches. And in the standing orders for the battalion, written by my great-grandfather, was an order that said, according to King's regulation, the facial hair should be shaved off the cheeks and off the chin, but not the top lip. So moustaches were compulsory at that time.
So, yeah, so all these young men with moustaches. And what you have in your book on page 21, which is so striking, is you just go through the year 1915, August, September, October, November, and you black out the soldiers who die, and you put in red some of the ones who are wounded and in yellow the ones who are gassed. And by the end, there are very few who've not been blacked out or painted in. In fact, about half of them have died.
Well, yes. I mean, 25 out of the 46 were killed in the war. And those who survived, they had to live with some of them terrible injuries and died still quite young. And others, they had to live with their experiences of the whole war. And a lot of what I've been doing is being about what those long-term impacts on those who survived. I mean, quite rightly, people focus on those who died in the war, but quite often those who survived are forgotten. And, their torture and their torment lasted so much longer. I mean, one of the guys in the photo lived to be 94.
Well, let's talk about, is this that Donald Stileman? Why don't we
mention
him? That's
right, yes.
I found his story so moving. I think he is the oldest, that he lived the longest life of anyone in the photo.
Yes.
Tell us about him.
Well, before the war, he was studying history at university. He was you get the impression he really didn't know what his life was for. There's a note about him drinking and sleeping alone and playing hockey. And then the war came along and he was very badly wounded on the first day of the Battle of Loos in 1915. He recovered and was then even more badly wounded on the Somme, where he lost the use of his right arm. And I just have this thing when I'm imagining him sitting in the trenches there, having been wounded with shells and machine gun fire, and just thinking, I am never, ever getting out of this alive. But somehow he did survive, and he never had the use of his right hand for the rest of his life. It was, he called it his dud hand. But he determined that he was going to do something positive with his life. He changed what he was studying at university. He studied forestry, went out to India to join the forestry service, got married, and the rest of his life was dedicated to trees and forestry. He came back to the UK and was in the Forestry Commission for the rest of his working life.
You've got, because the book basically has a little, tiny little chapter on every single person, and there's yes. lovely text and photos, and you've got his family photos in the, you know, in his 80s and 90s, an absolutely lovely sort of face, and still got the moustache, actually, we should say.
Yes.
And the thing I found most moving, I think we could play it, actually, we was a poem that was written for Donald Stahlman by his son, Peter, on his 93rd birthday. So I'll tell you what we'll do. It's all right with you, Andrew. We've got our newsreader, Tom, to voice up the poem. We'll play it. We'll play some more music at this end, and then we'll get back to you and talk about another soldier in the photograph.
OK, so, fantastic.
Brilliant. We're talking to Andrew Tatham. It's honestly an amazing book. It's called A Group Photograph. It's been Andrew's passion. We've just mentioned a couple of the people, but let's focus on Donald Stahlman, who even though he had just the one hand, went to be a forester and plant trees. And this poem is written by his son, Peter, about his beloved father.
Mostly, I remember summer days. The garden, the sailing sun, the mown lawn, oddments for stumps and bales, a half-size bat, a bright, real leather cricket ball, and pads and gloves for me. After I'd asked for middle, marked the crease, my dad would bowl left-handed, underarm. All serene, boy, he'd say, and then he'd bowl. Maybe I was 10, he 40. I got to know his wicked, lobbing spin and clouted him through apples, trees to leg. He'd shout for joy. When his turn came to bat, one-handed, against my speedy, flailing overarm, he'd swing for six or out, and if he hit, we had to climb the fence and search the field. He called his right hand Dud. He was blown up on the Somme, invalided out, and learnt to be left-handed. For us kids, the fascination was to feel the lump of shrapnel lodging near his spine and more lumpish fragments sticking in his toes. This German metal seemed no handicap, although, of course, the severed nerves and withered right hand were. He accepted these disabilities as though inherited. Sometimes was annoyed because he couldn't grip with the right hand, but persevered until he'd mowed the turbulent grass, fixed the puncture, staggered up the cliff precariously with driftwood on his back, and the dud arm waving for balance. So many magic pictures come to mind. In old age, eyes blue as ever, he loves reading, pottering in the garden, sometimes wobbly on his pins, and waves that withered arm to keep upright. He'll still climb trees for apples. He plays croquet like an ace and often beats us all. Me and my brothers he calls boy. Hello, boy, when one of us arrives. Grandsons also qualify. What are you up to, boy? He asks Richard, Christopher, Mark, the whole tribe, great-grandson too. And girl applies to daughter and granddaughters. Strange the warmth this greeting generates. Somehow, it makes us all belong. And now your score is 93. Take guard. All serene, boy.
BBC Radio 2, we're looking at a photograph from 1915, and that poem was about one of the people in it. We'll talk about another one after this. Oh, it's so nice. I just had a text from my mum saying, what a beautiful poem. So it was about Donald Stahlman, who went through the First World War, died aged 94, lost the use of his arm. Is that right, Andrew, in the war? And that poem
That's
was
right.
written by his son. And you've got a beautiful group photo of the family, which reminds us that life goes on.
Absolutely. Life definitely goes on. And one of the whole story about this for me is about the family that... In the exhibition, I have all of these tree drawings that I've made, which show the roots, all of these years and years of love and struggle that created each of these men, and then what happened to them in terms of some of the trees have died out and are stunted, and some of the trees are absolutely massive. And my own great-grandfather's tree is 3 meters wide and 1 meter high, whereas a lot of the others are, you know, just 20 centimeters wide. So it's all about family, this project.
And if we look at, let's say, another soldier, William Howe Bisley. Now, he's at the top right of your photo. He makes it through without even being wounded through August, September, October, and then his photo is blacked out in November, so he didn't reach the end of the war.
No, he was actually married in December 1915. He had 2 days honeymoon, and then he was killed on the Somme in August 1916. His only daughter was born 4 days after he was killed. And in the exhibition, we have got the veil that his wife wore at their wedding, and was also worn by his daughter at her wedding. And she then had 4 children who had 8 children who had 14 children. And it's one of the most unbelievable stories in the book, about that narrow thread that keeps life going along, that, you know, his daughter never was on the planet at the same time as him, except within his wife.
So she was born 4 days after he was killed.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then 8 great grandchildren and 14 great. Isn't that wonderful,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, a lot of the story of this is about the continuation of life, but also that life can be cut short at any time, and how so important it is to really grab life fully. You know, there's actually one of the great-granddaughters, another chap in the photo, has, after coming to the exhibition and everything, has quit her job that she was not feeling fulfilled in, and has decided to do something that really meant something to her. And that, to me, is the greatest compliment from someone coming to my exhibition.
Well, it's the book is just awesome. And we've got somebody else who's been affected by it. Sarah Waters on the line, and you're near Bognor Regis, and your grandfather is also in the photo, Sarah.
Yes, that's right. Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
So you've seen the exhibition, have you?
We went to the opening of the exhibition in Ypres in September. Yes, we did, yes.
And I'm looking at the photo now. Can you describe where your grandfather is?
OK, so he's in the... if you're looking at the photo, one row in from the back, so second row in, and he's 1, 2, 3. He's the 4th one in from the left.
OK. And so I'm just looking. He got to the end of the war.
He did. I don't know how he survived, because he was involved in the Battle of Loos that Andrew mentioned just now, and then again in the Battle of Somme, and he just managed to survive so many battles. And fortunately, he did survive, because myself and my siblings would not be here today, nor any of our children. So we are very, very fortunate that he did survive all of that.
Andrew, what was it? I think you were, 20 years on this book? What was it that drove you?
There were a lot of different things that drove me. I think it was, initially, there was... the thing that sort of set the seal on it was that I saw this thing in the battalion war diary where my great-grandfather was posted out from the battlefield, and he was leaving the battalion, and in the war diary it says, "It was not without tears in his eyes that he said goodbye to his officers, and one could see that it hurt him greatly to leave his battalion, especially under such conditions at such a time." And I was just so moved by that helped me get through a lot of the difficulties, but also this was all about being an art project, that I wanted to make things that made people look at history differently, looked at their own life, and you know, and just gave them a different window on what it is to be a human being in this world that has war.
Thank you so much, Andrew Tatham. The book is called A Group Photograph. Honestly, I can't recommend it highly enough. I think, you know, the whole year we've done different books on the show. This is the one that is just so powerful, just to read the individual stories of all the 46 men in this Slightly random First World War photo, but of course for them it wasn't random, and it's their lives we've been talking about.